And we that say we follow the King of Kings better make a decision by our life, by our allegiance, by our love for the next generation, by our purse strings of who we're really serving. His kingdom, either be a part of His kingdom and live, because He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or prepare to die. I'm going to challenge you that are in my age group. If you're over 55, stop acting like you're ready to die. Stop sitting back. Stop saying in your actions, either verbally or non-verbally, or else God will take you. Why should we live if we outlive our purpose? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, in the last 3 weeks, going back to God Saves the Best for Last, and we had that video clip of the same song. And then The Blessed Life. If you've missed that, you need to go online and see it. It was the first time outside of a mini video clip that I showed. I used a Sunday morning, three morning services on that Blessed Life. And, pardon?
We're also making CDs if they want to get it.
Yes. And so they could see online because, yeah. And the number three, the thing is, this past week about the 4th of July in our country and the historical truths and precedents that we shared about our framers and founders of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and that we have a legal as well as a biblical precedent to stand and not fear and make a difference in the land. Wicked prevails when great men and women do what? Nothing. How much more in the kingdom of God? The Bible says, and I've quoted it, I take notes and I follow, and there's something that will catch my heart for the last 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, a dissertation about the closing of the age of my text this morning, and this gospel of the kingdom, turn to Matthew 24, shall be preached in all the nations as a witness in all the world. And listen, then the end shall come. Not until God's work is finished will the end come. No nitwit in North Korea, no fanatic from Iran, no accidental bumping of two bombs is going to close this age. This age is going to get finished when God says, judgment's not going to come from the East. Judgment's not going to come from a false religion, fanatic. Judgment's not going to come from a dictator. Judgment is reserved for God and Him alone. We just better make certain that we're under the wings and the arms of the Most High Judge. Amen. We believe Jesus and this gospel of the kingdom. I bet my life on it, my family. When my children were little, I told them, in case you get brain dead in your teen years, I'm going to tell you right now, I love you, but I'm not going to go to hell for you. I love you, so you better just love Jesus. We believe Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, no compromising that. No other way to the Father. No other deities. He's the only one that defeated hell, death, and the grave. You could go around the world, as I've mentioned a gazillion times before, and people will celebrate the bones of their deity. They'll show you a God that's been chiseled out of stone or wood or metal. But we believe Jesus, because before Bethlehem, before the babe of Bethlehem, before the babe in the manger, He is. Before Abraham, He said, I am, and one day He's coming back again. And when He comes back, listen, He said, two will be working in the field, one will be working, one will be left behind. Two people will be in a bed, one will be left behind, one will be taken. And you and I haven't come this far to be either bankrupt in heaven, and that's impossible, or to be left behind. And I believe the balance of my life is not just getting us over on 551 South Kepler, and even paying off the debt of that for this generation. I believe my main responsibility is to prepare us for eternity. Who wants to go? You don't want to go to heaven? Okay, God. You have forgotten some. The reason why I'm here is not just because God called me, but in February in 1978, God gave me a picture of hell and the white throne judgment. I lost 5 pounds in one dream because I sweat off 5 pounds. It soaked not only the mattress and the box spring. We lived in an old city brownstone, so it wasn't even brownstone. It was cheap asbestos shingle. Three stories high. Upstairs in the wintertime, that bedroom, we blew smoke out of our, because it's too expensive to cool. We had a heater on the bottom, and that was about it. It was about 52 degrees overnight in the winter. Sweat off 5 pounds, and I saw the white throne judgment and saw people going into the lake of darkness. I gave my life to preach his gospel. I believe this Jesus. I believe everybody's going to bow their knee, whether they want to or not one day. As Scripture says in Philippians, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I believe no one will be able to shake a religious fist or a political fist at a holy God. No one will be able to plead the Fifth Amendment and say, I don't have to say anything. I believe this Jesus and I believe this gospel. I believe this gospel, even if you hear my heart now, I don't want you to hear the wrong thing. I believe it's the best news that humanity could have. This is the gospel. This is good news. And this good news was paid for from Jesus. And this good news is established in more than a philosopher or a philosophy. It's a kingdom. It's a whole world. You got to dare to see it, because if you just get caught up in this world, you're losing sight of the kingdom that God has, a kingdom that's advancing, a kingdom that knows no end, a kingdom where there's joy in the Holy Spirit, a kingdom that after you take your last breath, you're with him. You're with him. And that's when life really starts living. Matthew chapter 24. We're living Matthew 24 right now in 2009. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to return in 2009. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But even though, I will say as it says in the last verse of the 22nd chapter of Revelation, even though, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Jesus left the temple, was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. This past Friday morning at about 8:45. Would you hand that to me, Renee? There's 29 ex-tribal people, some with the women with the tattoos over their face and shoulders from Papua New Guinea. This is a flag of Papua New Guinea. And you look, you say, well, maybe they're from Africa. No, Papua New Guinea is off the northern coast of Australia. And these people, let me put all your junk in here, honey. They gave that to me. Let me tell you what happened. I get a call. Almost a year ago, I get a call. We call every month. Invite the pastors to come to the luncheon. We started January, second Thursday in January 1993. Free lunch for all the pastors, Christian pastors in the city. We come together at Holiday Inn. We eat together and we pray and just love on each other and try to strategize. And there was one particular denomination in the city that would not come. Very conservative, didn't want anything to do with it. And that's okay. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. Anyway, the pastor retired, and a young pastor, a young whippersnapper in his 30s, new pastor, and he gets a call. Chris comes to me and says, you know that church? That pastor's coming. I go, that pastor's coming. Well, they got a new pastor. He's coming to dinner. I go, yes. And he came. A precious man. Precious man. Just loved it. And he said, yeah, I just feel I need to be a friend of yours. Will you just help me? And I said, I would love to, man. And make a long story short, he got plugged in, man. This guy's on fire. And he has special needs child, and just asked me, what do you do in a service when you have a special needs child or somebody has a special needs child and something happens? Like, oh, well, we're just learning that now. We're trying to learn. We're not doing that good of a job, but we're learning. We're trying to train our people. And he goes, oh, I'm not alone. I go, no. And he goes, man, I'm just hungry for the Holy Spirit. I just love what you guys believe. And we pray together, and I'll tell you, every month this guy's prayed, and heavens open up in a pastor's luncheon. And so about 3 weeks ago, he calls me. He goes, we're having our general council in July. The general council for our denomination in Orlando. It is falling apart. And I tore it apart. But he said, you know, he goes, I just know what to say. He goes, I get a call. He goes, they called 15 or so of our churches and nobody said they could help them, but I got 29 native people that are planning churches like every week. Some of them mortgaged their little homes so they could come to general council and be with a few thousand believers at the general council of their denomination in Orlando. I go, well, you know, our general council's in August. God might be up to something in this little peninsula. So he said yes. He told his wife, he says, okay, I'm going to go see my mom up in, I think, in Indiana. And he put 11 of them in his house for 2 weeks. Nice guy. And then other people in the church opened up their doors because they don't have a corporate account, a Holiday Inn or anything like that. And then he called me and goes, you know, we have to go back and forth to Orlando. I know who to ask, but I know you have a pretty slick bus there. And, you know, my van plus a bus will keep everything legal. I said, well, legal's big for me. Do you have a legal license? He goes, yeah, I do. I'm, you know, with P on it, passenger. I could drive up to a 50-pack. I said, it's yours. He goes, are you kidding? Yeah, it's yours. You know, and they took it, and they got these people. And then I get a call last week during a pastor's lunch. I said, you know, Pastor, I have 5 superintendents from Papua New Guinea. Could I bring them to lunch with me? I said, of course. Now, Chris called me, Pastor Carol, we get on his phone each other. Yeah. So we start the luncheon in this past Thursday, and here comes this young pastor with 5 of these precious men. Each one of these men have oversee a minimum of 60 to 130 churches in their island nation where there's 800 different languages. And there's a move of God going in their denomination. And these superintendents say, oh, Pastor, tears didn't rise. You're so generous. Like, no, generous. We gave you a bus and gave you a lunch. And tears, these 5 superintendents. And they say, you know what? We do gifts of spirit and we cast out demons. I said, listen, the only problem with our denominations is only in America. Overseas, they all are full of the spirit. I said, you just so encouraged me. So anyway, we left the Holiday Inn and we, they said, can we follow you to the church right up the street? I go, yeah. They came in here. They turned. They wept when they saw that wall. And they just took turns laying hands on all of our missionaries. Then we came here. And to cut power down and save money, we have everything on computers. So it's hot in here during the week. And we were just here seeking the face of God, crying out to God, praying for each other, praying for America, praying for the city. And this was just a deposit just 3 days ago. You know, a couple days ago, crying out to God. We were soaking wet when we were finished. Yes, because of the anointing, but also because it's like 86 degrees in here. And then we left, and they said, tomorrow morning, that was Thursday, tomorrow morning, we want to meet on your property. We drove by that. We've never seen anything like it. We want to pray. So I went there. I expected to see the same 5 superintendents and the pastor. They brought all their people, all 29 people, and all these precious women and all their intercessors. And we went on that property. And because we didn't have enough hard hats to go around, I had to keep everybody over so we wouldn't get fined by OSHA. We came together, and let me see that again. And these people wept. And they said, want you to know, Deland, you are not alone. We are halfway around the world. And we are believing that God will honor your kindness and generosity for the nations. Because our nation was reached by missionaries from churches that send people from America. We make a commitment for First Assembly. We make a commitment for Deland, Florida. And the one head intercessor, this precious woman, came up. She still had all those tribal tattoos. A pastor's wife now. It says, greetings from the South. This is the Southern Hemisphere. And this is their flag. And they says, this is filled with all of our tears of intercession. So if you see by the eye of the Spirit, you could see them. Now, I'll be honest with you, I opened it up, I saw an empty place. But I understood what she was saying. It says, here. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This gospel of the kingdom. Did I finish the text? I don't think so. What God is doing, what he has done, what he has done and what he is doing through you, right now is incredible. It is incredible. We're a part of something that is encouraging other believers. I was at the city commission meeting last Monday night, and I invited, remember, last Sunday, everybody to come out on Monday night. I left the west coast of Florida, left Tim and Carol, the funeral that I had the privilege of doing, and hit some traffic, got back here, got here just in time to change, freshen up, and get to the city commission at 7 o'clock. And here the mayor stopped the meeting and say, you know, this church, and it's not just because I was doing an invocation. He says, this church, folks, First Assembly, and just said a few things. I stayed until 9 o'clock because there was a small church there that had something that had to get pushed through, and the pastor wasn't there. And but I felt the need to stay there just as a fellow pastor in the city, maybe do some good just by interceding. And afterwards, I got a chance to talk to some of the department heads. I want to tell you something. The reason why I need you, God needs you strong, is not just faith for yourself, but faith for those that have not yet believed. And faith for those that are this far away. I call them not, you know, it's my pastor's language the last couple years, I use this term, not yet believing. People not yet believing, and I believe, because of the price of this Jesus, that they're going to be believing. I believe what God promised me 30 years ago. He says, son, if you ever get in a situation where you have a conversation with someone and just offer to pray for them and witness them, I will finish the work because of what my son did. I'll send somebody else by, and you will see them in heaven. That's why I do the things I do. Oh, Pastor, you're so bold. You witness so many people. I go, no, you don't understand. No, it's not by might, not by power. It's because of what God revealed to me, how little it takes, and how powerful this Jesus is, and that this gospel of the kingdom is incredible. It's greater than any deity, any philosophy, any social club. It is the greatest love. It's the greatest protection. It is the greatest nourishment, nutrition. It is the greatest health to your bones. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. It is it's greater than a club. It's he's everything. And his kingdom does not fail because it doesn't stand on the pillars of men or governments. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciple came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. That's where I was. And he answered and said, you see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will be not one thing left, one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. As he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? Everybody, even most religions of that day understood that everything would have to melt down. You know, the Bible says that. There'll be a fervent heat. You know, the early critics after 1920s, the scientists mocked Christianity because they said it's impossible because God's word says that one day the elements were made, would melt. They mocked us. They threw away the gospel because of that. They say it's impossible until the first hydrogen bomb was exploded. Everyone, especially the ancient Near East or Mideastern religions, understood that everything would have to explode. We know it's not by the might of man, though. See, one day there'll be new heavens and new earth. Because of the measure of sin, everything the way you know is going to have to get refined. Maybe that's politically correct. Refined. By the fire of God. The fire of Jehovah, because sin cannot stand in his way. So this is not an abstract dissertation or conversation here. Listen, follow along with me, okay? Jesus said, he answered a question. He says, tell us, Jesus, what are these things going to be? What will be a sign of your coming and of the closing of the age? Jesus said to them, see that no one leads you astray. Christian, friend, brother. I've known many of you, fought for some of your lives, led of you some to Jesus. You're probably not going to get led astray by a false religion. But the action sometimes of our life says that we're being led astray by people that aren't with us in our spiritual DNA, to understand the mantle that you have, what you've been privileged to be a part of, or maybe your love and your allegiance towards Jesus. See that no one leads you astray. The world, a promise of your investments, that if you do this, you're going to make high dividends. Listen, the Bible says any investments that bring quick increase are going to leave just as fast. Same thing, health and healing first has to come through prayer and the Word of God and the calling of elders and anointing oil and prayer. That's one object, healing. See that no one gets you out of balance. Start robbing God and using your first fruits to build kingdoms of this world or worrying just about the outward, though the outward perishes. See that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and they will lead many astray. You say, well, that doesn't really happen here. No, it does happen. People will come as someone that has a new bend on one portion of Scripture. A new bend on something that there's maybe an iniquitous part of our life or a complaint in our life that's easily nudged by another like spirit, alienates your affections from God, from your church, from the demand of Christ starting in your own city, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the othermost parts of the world. See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and they will lead many astray. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. Don't worry what the sky is saying in North Korea. Except if you live in Hawaii. That's not a joke. This guy that yaks in Iran, that he's going to be the 13th inman that's going to usher in chaos, even if he does something crazy. Could you? I'm not saying that these people can't do some collateral damage and that we shouldn't stay close to Jesus. Yes, we should. And a lot of these things are already happening. He says they must take place, but the end is not yet. In very interesting wording. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but just the beginning, as if birth pains, Jesus is saying. Birth pains gives a signal that something else is about to come to fruition. Let me submit to you, we're in the birth pains. For a believer, it's good. The kingdom of Christ, this gospel, the kingdom is going to come to fruition. For the non-believer, or for those that are believers that are so connected to lukewarmism, alienation of affection, or the non-believer, it is chaos and fear. They won't be able to handle it. Matter of fact, Scripture says men's hearts will fail them. There'll be such panic attacks for those that aren't steadfast in the Word of God, in order, in a strong place of safety. These are just the beginning of birth pains. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I had somebody say to me a few weeks ago, you know, Pastor, it seems like our country is by, everybody hates us in Israel. I go, I think you're about right. And then being a part of the kingdom of God is, what is the one religion that is mocked and the easy target in Hollywood or around the world today? What is it? Christianity. They wouldn't do half the stuff towards Islam because they'd be afraid to get blown up. The Hollywood guy or whatever. It's amazing the stuff we're allowed to, we get attacked for. Mocked. The comedians. Even a guy recently elected in a position in the Northern Plains. Won't apologize to Christians for insulting them. Verse 10, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness, will be increased. Now, when lawlessness increases, and we have a lot of law enforcement here, and I talk about this all the time, we wonder why. And it makes a lot of spiritual sense. When lawlessness increases, unless you're totally in love with Jesus, you'll get cynical and even hatred towards the world instead of redeeming it. Correct? And as a result of lawlessness increasing, the love of many will wax cold. But he who endures till the end, and let this mess up your theology, of those that maybe got baptized here at 12, maybe had somewhere else had First Holy Communion, said a sinner's prayer somewhere, high-fived God, you thought, and then live your life unto yourself. But he who endures till the end will be saved. A lot of starters in startup businesses, right? Startup businesses, 80% fail in less than a couple years. A lot of starters in athletics. He who endures till the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom, it's all its warnings, its accountability, its commands. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. Listen, as a testimony to all nations. And then, and not till then, the end will come. Could it be this year? I could just see it now. All of us celebrating that beautiful building. And the best Christmas ever, people from the community coming, all of a sudden that's, you know, that every wall, including the two interior walls and exterior walls, are 8 inches of concrete and steel. But you know the roof's not. Can you imagine the Lord's return and that roof blows off and all of us take off? Wow! What a party! I want to share a few thoughts with you and then you're going to be over. This gospel of the kingdom, number one, it's his gospel. It's his gospel. Like it or not, it's his gospel. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his good news. He bought and paid for it with his own life, his own shed blood. It's his gospel. You don't have a problem with me. You might have a problem with him. Please don't get mad at me. Don't get mad with your spouse if one of the two of you are a little bit hungry after the things of God and wants to make some corrective decisions in their time, in their priority, in their giving and serving. And, oh, you just do too much. And let somebody else do it. It's his gospel. Matthew 24:14, it speaks about his gospel. Matter of fact, this is Jesus' gospel. It's not even Matthew's gospel. Come on. This is all red. Remember, read the red and do it. This gospel. It's his gospel. It's not the Assemblies of God. It's not the Roman Catholics. It's not the Lutherans. It's not the Methodists. It's his gospel. I pledged my allegiance when I was 17 years old, when I got inducted in Newark Induction Station of the United States Army, to the United States Army. But I'm going to tell you something. In that cold winter in 77 and 78, one of the coldest winters we had in the Northeast, I pledged my allegiance, my wife next to me, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's his gospel that's meant more than life to us. It's a good news of his son's salvation, of God's only begotten son. His gospel is the greatest love story ever told. It's the greatest sacrifice. It's the greatest provision. And it brings forth the healing for a person or even nations. It's an everlasting kingdom. A kingdom that cannot be stopped. A kingdom that cannot be intimidated. Inside or outside. Enemy fire or friendly fire. Jesus being King of Kings is the king of his kingdom. This gospel is his gospel. John the Baptist, Christ's forerunner, gives this truth from Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, 21 chapters before this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Stop. Stop doing your own thing. Stop other loves and affections. Stop. Stop. In the day that you hear, there's a principle in Scripture. In the day that you hear, stop, repent, turn. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. Why? Because it's his gospel. It's not sloppy agape. It's not boasting when I started. It's not high-fiving a holy God and living a life unto myself. It's his gospel. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord. Going to be entered in, because you imagine people weeping, gnashing of teeth. They thought they're going to make it into heaven. Because Jesus and Paul said it, be careful of another gospel, a denominational gospel, or a friend who I call a PX general, try to alienate your affections and make you just, oh, you can believe this way. Oh, you don't have to do this. You can just watch it. It's his gospel. Number two, this gospel of the kingdom is a hearing as well as a heralding gospel. Listen to me, please. I was going to preach something else, but I watched that video clip from the youth, and I was so touched that I got before the Lord for the last 3 days, and I don't download stuff from the internet. I download from heaven, and I write, and this is what God says. This gospel of the kingdom is a hearing and heralding gospel. Matthew 24, the same text. Every subpoint will come out of the same verse, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. May I submit to you, it will be proclaimed with me or without me, with you or without you, but it's going to be proclaimed. This is a hearing gospel. Whoever hears, whoever heralds, hark the herald angels. What was the voice of the heralding angels? For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. From the first gospel to the manifestation of revelation of Jesus Christ, it's proclaiming to us and through us. Matthew 11:28, Jesus saying, come unto me. Listen, if you just hear today, because it's a hearing gospel, come unto me, all you that labor and be heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Why are you taking pills? Why do you got to drink? Why do you got to spend all this money on even vegetable drugs and nutrition to make you peace of mind? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He has the authority to give you peace. Come to him. Dare to hear. This is a hearing and heralding gospel. I'm tired. Go, come on now. Come to him if you're tired. I'm sick of this world. Come to him if you're sick of this world. I'm working and I'm not getting ahead. Come unto him. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So you could get up the next day and slay another dragon, take out another Goliath, defend the weak, guard your family, show people the way. This is not a place for the weak. It was the strongest and most honorable thing you could ever be a part of. One of the names of Jesus, I told Mega Men Thursday, is Archegos, which simply means in its Greek origin, the captain of our salvation. You're called to be a soldier. You're called to be an athlete. You're called to be a farmer. All three have to do with finishing. This is a hearing and a heralding gospel that you have. To the Jew and Gentile, to the church and the unchurched, for now as well as for his soon return. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of God unto salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile. Revelation 1:4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the spirit, seven spirits who are from before his throne. Listen, to the church and the unchurched. And Revelation 22, the last chapter in the apocalypse, says Revelation 22:20, he who testifies to these things, surely I am coming soon. John says, come, Lord Jesus. Two more in 2 minutes. Can we do that? Two more in 2 minutes. Number three, the gospel of the kingdom is a here and now healing gospel. It's a here and now. We get some here, we get the rest later. Make sure you get both. Glory to God. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom be proclaimed through the whole world as a testimony. What is your testimony? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ set me free. He could keep me free. He set me free in 77 or set me free in 79. He set me free in 96. He still keeps me. He, doctors wrote me off, and now I stand healed by his stripes. I am healed. I was weak. Now I'm strong. It's a here and now gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Jesus said to them, go into all the world. Proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands on accident. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is a here and now gospel. Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures till the end, saved. That word in this context is sozo. It means, this word save, you know what it means? It means save, it means renew, it means deliver, it means healing, wholeness, health. Our testimony is that Jesus Christ is indeed the same yesterday and forever. He's no respecter of persons. He still saves. And if he still saves, he still keeps. And if he still keeps, he still heals and he delivers. Here's the last point in the last minute and I'm over. But God's word isn't over. And his spirit will never leave you. He said, Lord, I'm with you always when you get in your car if you don't go to Sunday school, and you should. Or if you go to Sunday school and you leave and you go to lunch, he'll be with you. And that little waitress comes to you and you see how you're doing, and you'll see by her verbal or facial expression that you have something to offer her, possibly. Number four, this gospel of the kingdom is a humanity gospel for all people and all nations. Papua New Guinea, Oxford, England, Kyiv, Ukraine, Sydney, Australia, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Caracas, Venezuela, Havana, Cuba, you say it, Frankfurt, Germany, Rome, Italy, Moscow, Seoul, Korea. The full verse, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end shall come. This gospel of the kingdom is a humanity gospel for all people and all nations. So would you stand with me? Thank you for being so patient.